بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. Okay, today we are reading from, first of all, yes, today is our 40th session, session number 40, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Medina Book 3, Level 3, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, will be, by the permission of Allah, walhamdulillah, the completion of Lesson 17, which will be the completion of the Level 3 course. And that being said, we hope, by the permission of Allah, to try to do some kind of brief, concise, quick review of what we covered in these 17 lessons. And then look at the possibility of where we go from here. And to, I guess, level 4, right? Second half of book 3. Hopefully we'll find some interest in doing that. And we did find not a large number, but several of those who are interested in reviewing this level 3 course. Hopefully we'll find an equal number, at least, even if it's a small number of those who are interested, ready, and willing to go on to the completion of the Medina grammar program, and either the second half of Book 3, Level 4 course. Naam, alhamdulillah. Okay, so today what we intended to do was have a quick review of the English key, all of it, but especially points 2 through 8 on pages 69 to 73. And that's because point number one is the core of this lesson. We've already completed the exercises, all of the exercises related to point number one. So the exercises that remain, starting from exercise number 8 up until exercise number 17, are all related to the remaining points of the English key, points 2 through 8. So we're going to look at the entire key, but we're going to focus on points 2 to 8, because the exercises that we're going to be doing today are related to them. Now, so point number 1, English key, page 69, tells us this, in this lesson we're going to be looking at bab afala. And this is another bab from the abwab of the mazid, of the thulafi mazid. So in the previous lesson we looked at bab fa'ala, and in this lesson we're looking at bab afala. In this, a hamza is prefixed to the first radical. Yani the first root letter takes sukun and is prefixed to it. Yani preceding it is a hamza. Hamza with fatha. And the first radical loses its vowel. And so, for example, you have nazala, he came down, anzala. Yani the first radical noon takes sukun, it's preceded by hamza with fatha. And the meaning changes from he came down to he caused someone else to come down. He brought down. Kharaja, he went out. Akhraja, he caused somebody else to go out, or he brought someone else out. We talked about the mudari verb, how its original form should have been, and how it was modified slightly. And we also talked about the vowel, because it has four letters, unlike other mudari verbs that we've studied in the past. Except what we saw in the last lesson, we saw that when it has four letters, the mudara'a letter, the letter that's added to the beginning of it, takes dhamma. So we have anzala yunzilu, and the fi'l amra, basically, anzala yunzilu, you say anzil, you're just changing, you're changing the mudara'a letter, the ta, to hamza with fatha, anzil. Naam. Akhraja yukhriju, akhrij. Dakhala, adkhala, adkhil. Naam. So the common forms of this type of verb is like from, for example, aslama yuslimu, aslim, submit and surrender to Allah. Amana yu'minu amin, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that's the fi'l amr. The masdar, we said, is on the pattern of if'al. So from akhraja yukhriju, ikhraj. From aslama yuslimu, islam. The ism fa'il is just changing the mudari'a form Yani changing the mudara' letter, harf mudara', changing it from ya to meem with dhamma. Yuslimu, Muslim. Except that the last vowel is going to be tanween because this is a noun now. Yuslimu is a verb. Muslimun is a noun. Ism maf'ul is the same as the ism fa'il, except that the next to the last radical, instead of it taking kasra for the ism fa'il, it takes fatha for the ism maf'ul, and ism makan and zaman is the same as the ism maf'ul. And you know that it is ism maf'ul or ism makan or ism zaman from the context of the sentence. Okay, so that's what we said concerning the first point of this lesson, which we've completed, all of its exercises. The second point is that the verb a'ata, he gave, is from the bab afala. And this is from the bab that we're studying in this lesson, bab afala. But this particular verb has something about it that we want to look at, and that is, yani, bab, the verb a'ata, its mudari is yu'ati, its masdar on the pattern of ifal is i'ta'un. And originally it should have been i'ta'un, but in any case, the ya is converted to hamza, i'ta'un. The fi'l amr is a'ati, and the ism fa'il is mu'atin. If it had alif lam, it would be al-mu'ati, and the ism maf'ul is mu'tan. So what is peculiar about this particular verb? Its forms are basically the same as what we have seen for bab af'ala, except that, and because it has alif maksura on the end, so there's some irregularity in terms of it, and because it's a fi'l naqis, so the ism fa'il from it, if it doesn't have alif lam, it loses that last letter. So instead of mu'ati, it became mu'atin. If it has alif lam, the ya comes back, al-mu'ati. Okay, so what is particular about this verb though is that it takes two objects. That there's a maf'ulun bi al-awwal and a maf'ulun bi al-thani. And the two objects that it takes are not originally mubtada and khabar. Okay? Unlike yani kana wa akhawatuha, the ism of kana and the khabar of kana is originally mubtada and khabar. But unlike that, here the two nouns that are the two objects of the verb alpha are not originally mubtada and khabar. Okay? So, but it does take two objects. And so, for example, you say, أعطيت بلال ساعة. I gave Bilal a watch. So Bilal is the maf'ul al-awwal and sa'atan is maf'ul al-thani. And they gave us some examples of this. And they said that the two objects may also be pronouns. The two objects may also be pronouns. It could be a pronoun and a noun, or it could be a noun and a pronoun, or it could be two pronouns, just as it can be two nouns. Like here we have two nouns, Bilal and sa'atan. So likewise it can be two pronouns, من أعطاكه أعطانيهي المدرس أعطانيهي, يعني the ya is the first maf'ul in أعطانيهي, ya is the first maf'ul الأول, and he is the maf'ul الثاني, and المدرس is the fa'il. Okay, so that is for the verb أعطى. It has two objects. They could be two nouns, they could be two pronouns, it could be a mixture of one and the other. The third thing is walau, which means even if, and the main thing about this expression, walau, is that the verb after walau is going to be madi. Ishtari hadha al-mu'jam walau kana ghaliyan. Walau kana, yani the verb following it should be madi. By this dictionary, even if it is expensive. The fifth point on the bottom of page 71 is lam al-ibtida, and this lam has a fatha prefixed to the, and it's prefixed to the mubtada for the sake of emphasis. It's for this, the purpose of it, the meaning of it, is emphasis. It's connected to the mubtada and it doesn't affect the mubtada, it doesn't change it, and we should make sure that we distinguish it and not confuse it with the lam that is a preposition that takes fatha as well if it's connected to a pronoun, like lahu and laha. Okay, but that lam is a preposition. It originally has a kasra, li, and when it's connected to pronouns, it changes the kasra to a fatha. But this is something different altogether. This is not a preposition. And lam al-ibtida is a particle that's used, connected to the mubtada, to emphasize the meaning of the sentence. It's used for emphasis. Point number five is the verb asbaha, which is from the akhawat of kana, and it means to become something, and for something to happen, to overcome a person in the morning. Asbaha hamid, hamidun maridan. Hamid became ill. He fell ill in the morning. So the akhawatu kana work just like kana. Originally, the nouns that are used with it are a mubtada and khabar. The mubtada is marfu'un and the khabar is mansub. Also, they said that asbaha sometimes just has the meaning of to become without reference to time or the morning. Point number six, awshaka is also from the akhawatu kana. Its mudari is yushiku and it means he is about to, or it is about, something is about to happen. Okay? The thing that's different about awshaka is that it has a ism and a khabar, but its khabar is not going to be a noun, it's going to be a masdar mu'awwal, yani the particle n and a mudari verb. As in this sentence, the first example they gave us, yushiku at-tulabu an yarji'u ila biladihim fil ijaza. Students are about to return to their countries in the holidays. Yani at-tulabu is the ism of yushik and the masdar mu'awwal an yarji'u is the khabar. So the thing that's distinct or different about awshaka is that its khabar is going to be a masdar mu'awwal, the particle n with a mudari verb. Point number seven is what is known as ma an-nakiratu at-tamatu al-mubhamatu. The completely indefinite and vague ma an-nakira at-tama, completely indefinite, al-mubhama, yani vague. And the meaning of this ma, here the word ma is an adjective meaning some or certain. Yani li amrin ma means for some reason. For some reason. And then they gave us examples, and we're going to see examples in the lesson today in the exercise. The last point, number eight, is the alif of ibn is omitted in writing with certain rules. If it is between two names, the name of a son and his father, like Muhammad, the son of William, and that all of the three words, the son's name, ibn, and the father's name are on one line, and that the father's name is not preceded by a title. That the father's name is not preceded by a title. Like you can say Al-Hasan ibn Ali, but you should it won't be applicable if you say Al-Hasan ibn al-Imam Ali. Because Imam is a title, and the ibn should be directly between two names. The name of the son and the name of the father, they should be written on the same line. And though it's not mentioned here in the English key, we should also note that from its conditions is that ibn here, it should be yani used as a not to describe yani Hassan is the son of Ali, not as a khabar. Okay, and that perhaps if we see anything in the exercise that clarifies it, we'll try to bring it out. Otherwise, yani the main thing is here is that the Hamza til wasl, the Aleph in the word ibn is omitted if it is between the name of the son and the father, and all three words are written on one line, and the father's name is not preceded by a title. Okay. I think yeah, I think an example of the case in which the Hamza of Ibn will be written, it will not be omitted, if Ibn is a khabar, as in, if somebody says Hamidun Ibn Ali, Hamid is the son of Ali. So Ibn here is the khabar. Hamid is the mubtada and Ibn is the khabar. As opposed to Hamidun, Hamidu without tanween, Ibn Ali. Hamid, the son of Ali. Yani meaning, the son of Ali is a sifa describing Hamid. If Ibn is used as a khabar, not as a sifa, yani it's the khabar of the sentence. Hamidun, yani Hamid is the khabar, Ibn Aliyin is the son of Ali. That in this case, Ibn is a khabar. and the sentence is complete. Hamidun ibn Ali. Hamid is the son of Ali. But if you say Hamid ibn Ali, Hamid the son of Ali, that's just a mubtada. There's no khabar there. Okay, so it's just a not describing Hamid, and it still requires a khabar. Alright, but if ibn itself is a khabar, in that case the alif is not omitted. The alif, yani, is required to be written. It's required to be written. Okay, so this is the quick summary of the English key. Now we're going to go to the exercises for this particular lesson. Yeah, we're going to look here now at the exercises for this lesson. Starting on page 147. Okay. So again, this is the end of the lesson. There aren't a lot of exercises. But just so that we didn't have to rush these exercises into last week's session, which probably would have been extremely difficult and maybe not even possible. So what we have remaining is not a lot of exercises, but inshallah we'll take our time and go through them well. And then perhaps we'll end early today. And this will be, again, as we mentioned, it will be the final lesson, the final session for the Level 3 course of Medina Book 3, the first half of the book. Okay, so we're on page 147. Exercise number 8. Yansibu a'ata maf'ulain. Yani the verb a'ata, which is from bab af'ala, makes mansub. It makes mansub two objects. Maf'ulain. For example, a'taytu hamidan kitaban. I gave Hamid a book. In this sentence, Hamidan is al-maf'ul al-awwal. I gave, yani, Hamid. And Kitaban is al-maf'ul al-thani. I gave Muhammad, that's the first object, a book, that's the second object. So both of them are affected by the verb a'taytu. A'taytu Hamidan Kitaban. So what is the point here? That this particular verb a'ta has two objects, al-maf'ul al-awwal and the maf'ul al-thani. Here they give us another example where the first object is a pronoun and the second object is a noun. Yani a'ataka al-kitaba. Or, I'm sorry, that's a question. Man a'ataka al-kitaba. Who gave you the book? Okay, so kaf here is the maful al-awwal, and al-kitab is the maful al-thani. Men, who gave you? You is the first object, al-kitab is the second object. In the answer, a'tinihi al-mudiru. The principal gave it to me. Here, both objects are pronouns. A'tini, the ya al-mutakallam, which represents the first person singular, corresponding to ana. A'tini, he gave me, he, it, yani, the book, al-mudiru. The principal gave me the book. So, me is al-maful al-awwal, and he, returning to book, referring back to book, is the maful al-thani. So, in the first example, a'taytu hamidan kitaban, we see both objects are nouns, proper noun and a common noun. In the second example, من أعطاك الكتاب, we see that the first object is a pronoun and the second object is a clear, yani, a common noun. And in the third example, the answer to that question, أعطينيه, أعطاني, I'm sorry, أعطانيه المدير, we see that the first مفعول الأول is a pronoun and the مفعول الثاني is a pronoun. So we see that the both mafuls can be nouns, both of them can be pronouns, or can be a mixture of the two. Okay, so that being said, let's look at the instruction for the exercise here. It says, تأمل المثال ثم أجب عن الأسئلة الآتية على غراره وعين المفعولين. Reflect carefully upon the example that's given. That's the first one, number one, sentence number one. ثُمَّ أَجِبْ عَنِ الْأَسْئِلَةِ الْآتِيَةِ. And then answer concerning the following questions. عَلَى غِرَارِهِ, following the same pattern as in sentence number one. وعين المفعولين, and identify the two objects. Okay, so sentence number one is the example. من أعطاك الكتابة? Who gave you the book? In the answer, أعطانيه أبي. The word in the parenthesis at the end of the line is the word that you should use in the answer. أعطانيه أبي. My father gave it to me. Okay, so in the question, من أعطاك الكتاب? كاف. The pronoun كاف. Here is the مفعول الأول, and الكتاب is the مفعول الثاني. In the answer, أعطانيه, يعني يا المتكلم after the نون, الوقاية, that يا is the first مفعول الأول, and the he, the second pronoun, is the مفعول الثاني. Sentence number two says, من أعطاك الساعة? Who gave you the watch? In the answer, أعطانيها خالي, يعني my maternal uncle, mother's brother, gave it to me, meaning the watch. And again, in the question, the calf is the مفعول الأول and الساعة is the مفعول الثاني. In the answer, the يا المتكلم after the نون الوقاية is the مفعول الأول, and the ها, referring back to الساعة, is the مفعول الثاني. Number three, من أعطاك هذا القلم? Who gave you this pen? أعطانيه أمي. My mother gave it to me. My mother gave it to me. In the question, the كاف is the مفعول الأول, and هذا is the مفعول الثاني. هذا the اسم إشارة, and القلم is the بدل for هذا. And القلم is the بدل for هذا. من أعطاك هذا القلم? يعني كاف is the مفعول الأول, هذا is the مفعول الثاني, and القلم is the بدل. In the answer, أعطتنيه. I'm sorry, it should have been أعطتنيه أمي. يعني my mother, she gave it to me. After the noon, الوقاية, the يا in أعطتني. يعني that يا is the مفعول الأول, and the he is the مفعول الثاني, and أمي is the فاعل. And number four, من أعطاكم الكتب? Who has given you all the books? أعطاناها المدير. The principal has given us them, يعني the books. In the question, من أعطاكم? كم is the مفعول الأول, and الكتب is the مفعول الثاني. In the answer, أعطاناها المدير. أعطاناها المدير, يعني the pronoun نا is the مفعول الأول, and the pronoun ها is the مفعول الثاني, and المدير is the فاعل مرفوع والتم. Number five, من أعطاك الدفتر? Who gave you the notebook? أعطيتنيه أنت. أعطيتنيه أنت. You have given it to me. So here, in the question, the كاف is the مفعول الأول and the دفتر is the مفعول الثاني. In the answer, أعطيتني, after the نون النسوة, the ياء المتكلم is the مفعول الأول and the he is the مفعول الثاني. And أنت here is used for emphasis of the pronoun تا, which is the فاعل of the verb أعطيت. يعني أنت is just emphasizing, يعني the second person masculine singular. Number six, من أعطاك الكتاب والدفتر? Who gave you the book and the notebook? أعطانيهما زميلي. My classmate has given both of them to me. In the question, من أعطاك الكتاب والدفتر? The كاف in أعطاك is the مفعول الأول. الكتاب is the مفعول الثاني, and الدفتر is معتوف. It's connected by واو العطف to الكتاب. In the answer, أعطانيهما زميلي. After the noon, al-wiqaya, the ya al-mutakallam is the maful al-awwal, and the pronoun hima, which represents huma, is the maful al-thani, and zamili is the fa'il. Alright, so basically this exercise is just giving us examples and practice with the use of the verb a'ta, which means to give, and the fact that it has two objects, al-maf'ul al-awwal and al-maf'ul al-thani, and those two objects could be two nouns, they could be two pronouns, or they could be a mixture of a noun and a pronoun, clear noun or a common noun, or a proper noun and a pronoun. Exercise number 9 goes to a new point, and this point is the use of the expression walau. The use of the expression walau. So this particular expression came in our lesson as following alpha, which was point number 3 in the English key. Walau came as alpha was point number 2, and walau is point number 3 of the English key, on near the bottom part of page 71. Walau, it means even if. And the main thing that we have to remember here is that the verb that follows walau is going to be in the past tense. The verb after it is a past tense verb. Ta'ammal al-amthilata al-atiyata li walau. Reflect, contemplate, examine carefully the following examples for walau, the expression walau, even if. So they gave us 5 sentences here. The first one, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. And Allah will complete and perfect His light, even if the disbelievers hate it. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ, even if they hate it. يعني الكافرون. So, the main thing here is that this is an example of the expression وَلَوْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will complete and perfect. This verb mutim, just by the way, is from the verb atamma yutimmu. It's the ism fa'il, mutim. Allah is the mutim, the one who will complete and perfect His light, walau kariha al-kafirun, even if the disbelievers hate it. Number 2. La nashtari hadhihi as-sayyarata walau a'jabaka. La tashtari. This is la. النهي لا تشتري. Do not purchase هذه السيارة, this car, ولو أعجبك, even if it is pleasing to you, even if it seems to be very nice, even if ولو أعجبك لونها وشكلها, even if its color, its loun, and its shekel, its shape or form is pleasing to you. فَإِنَّهَا قَدِيمَةٌ. Why? Because it is old. Don't purchase this car, even if its color and its outward appearance is pleasing to you, because it is old. So the point here is walau, even if, even though. And remembering what? That the verb following it is going to be past tense. أَعْجَبَ. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ لَوْنُهَا وَشَكْلُهَا. Number 3. أُحْضُرْ الْإِمْتِهَانَ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ مَرِيدًا. Attend the examination even if you were sick. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ, even if you were مَرِيدًا. Again, the expression وَلَوْ means even if, in spite of, even though. And it should be followed by a past tense verb. Number 4. اشتري هذا المعجم ولو كان غاليا. Purchase this dictionary even if it was expensive. Even if it was expensive, still you should purchase it. Again, the point here is that ولو is followed by a past tense verb كان. And finally, number 5. لن أسكن هذا البيت ولو أعطيتنيه مجانا. I will never reside or live in this house even if you had given it to me free. Majjanan. Even if you had given it to me, free. Walau a'tayta. Any past tense verb. Walau a'tayta nihi. And also we said that a'ta has two objects. The first object is here. A'tayta ni is ya al-mutakallam. And the second object is he. The pronoun he. Walau a'tayta nihi majjanan. Okay, after this, turn to page 148, exercise number 10, Lam al-Ibtida. This Lam al-Ibtida is on the bottom, the last thing on page 71 and top of page 72. Lam al-Ibtida, we said, is the Lam that's prefixed to the Mubtada for the sake of emphasizing the meaning of the entire sentence, the meaning that's contained in that particular sentence. And we said it shouldn't be confused with the lam, the li, that's a preposition that also takes fatah if it's connected to a pronoun. And also we should know that this lam al-ibtida does not change the ending, yani the case ending, the i'rab of the mubtada. It doesn't change it. Yani mubtada is marfu'ul dhamma. This lam al-ibtida doesn't change it. All it does is emphasize the meaning that's contained in the sentence. So here they gave us several examples, or six to be more specific, examples of Lam al-Ibtida. It says here, لَهَذَا, this is exercise number 10, top of page 148, the example, لَهَذَا مُسْتَحِيلٌ. And هَذَا مُسْتَحِيلٌ means this is impossible. لَهَذَا مُسْتَحِيلٌ means this is emphasizing, yani that this is definitely, certainly impossible. هَذِهِ لَامَ الْإِبْتِدَاءِ. This is the Lam al-Ibtida'i. تُفِيدُ تَوْكِيدُ مَضْمُونَ الْجُمْلَةِ. And what is its benefit? What do we get from this Lam al-Ibtida'i? It تُفِيدُ تَوْكِيدُ. Yani it emphasizes the مَضْمُونَ, the content of the jumla. It emphasizes the content of the sentence. And then they give us, yani, examples. وَفِي التَّنْزِيلِ. Yani, وَفِي التَّنْزِيلِ means in that which has been sent down. That which has been revealed. Meaning, yani, that which came in the Qur'an. So the first five examples are actually ayat from the Qur'an. وَفِي التَّنْزِيلِ. In that which has been sent down. That which has been revealed. Yani from the verb nazzala yunazzilu, yani the master, tafa'il, tanzil. Number one, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 41st ayah, ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitan wajim, wala ajrul akhirati akbaru. And indeed, certainly, yani this la that's connected to the mubtada ajru, la ajrul akhiratu akbar. Indeed, certainly, the reward of the next life is greater. So ajru is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, and al akhirah is mudafun ilayhi majrur, and akbaru is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma. So lam, it doesn't affect the mubtada, it doesn't change it from being marfu'un with dhamma. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. And indeed, the reward of the next life is greater than anything in this world. Number two. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 45th Ayat. And indeed, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. And He is greater than everything else. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. So, ذِكْرُ is the مُبْتَدَ مَرْفُوٌ with dhamma, and the love of Al-Jalala. Allah is the مُضَافًا إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ with كَسْرَ and أَكْبَرُ is the خَبَر مَرْفُوٌ with dhamma. Indeed, certainly, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest, is greater than everything else. Number three. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. And indeed, the azab, the punishment in the next life is greater, is far more severe than anything in this world. Again, the lam here, lam al-ibtida, is just for emphasis. Yani, la dhikru. We see that the mubtada is not changed by this lam. So it remains مبتدأ مرفوعٌ والضمة لفظ الجلالة. I'm sorry. ذكر الله لا عذاب الآخرة. يعني عذاب is مرفوعٌ والضمة and الآخرة is مضاف إليه مجرور والكسر and أكبر is the خبر مرفوعٌ والضمة. Number four. لأمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم. سورة بقرة. By the way, the last ayah was from سورة الزمر. 26 سورة 39th سورة 26 آيات. And this ayah is from سورة بقرة, second سورة, ayah 221. ولا أمة مؤمنة. Indeed, certainly, the slave which is a believing slave that has iman is خيرٌ من مشركة, is better than a mushrik. ولو أعجبتكم, even if that mushrik might be pleasing to you, attractive to you. The mushrik, يعني the slave is better than the mushrik, the believing slave is better than a mushrik, is better than a mushrik, even if that mushrik amazes you, is pleasing to you. So in this sentence we have several things. We have lam al-ibtida with la amatun. Amatun is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma. Mu'minatun is the sifa marfu'un with dhamma. And khayrun is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma. And then we have walau, and the verb after it is a'ajabat, past tense verb, even if yani that mushrika pleases you. Number five from Surah Al-Baqarah as well, same ayat, second surah, 221st ayat. Wala abadun mu'minun khayrun min mushrikin walau a'ajabakum. Yani that the abd, the male slave, that is a believer, that has iman, is better than the mushrik. Is better than a mushrik. Walau a'ajabakum. Even if that mushrik man is pleasing, attractive to you. So again, these two examples, 4 and 5, are from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 221. And both of them are saying what? That iman, the iman that's in a female slave or male slave, is far greater and far better than any attraction that you might see in the mushrik woman or the mushrik man, even if they appear to be pleasing to you. But iman is greater than that. Number six is from the hadith. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ لَغَدْوَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ رَوْحَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. رواه البخاري. In the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions لَغَدْوَةٌ, yani going out in the morning, in the early part of the day, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah. أَوْ رَوْحَةٌ, or going out in the evening, yani فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah, in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah. This is خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا, is better than the dunya and everything that is in it, and whatever is in it. Going out in the morning or going out in the evening in the path of Allah for the sake of Allah is better than the dunya and whatever is in it. In this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, the point here is يعني لام الابتداء لغدوة. It's connected to the مبتدا. It doesn't affect it. It just emphasizes the meaning. يعني indeed, certainly, definitely, this going out in the morning or in the evening in the path of Allah is definitely better than the dunya and everything that is in it. In this sentence, غَدْوَةٌ is the مُبْتَدَى مَرْفُوعٌ وَالضَّمَّ, and خَيْرٌ, خَيْرٌ is the خَبَر. Okay, so that's the end of exercise number 11, لام الابتداء. Its benefit is that it يعني emphasizes the content of the sentence. It's attached to the mubtada, but it doesn't affect its i'rab. Okay, now we go to exercise number 11, page 148. Exercise number 11 deals with the verb asbaha, and this is point number 5 in the English key. Point number 5 in the English key on page 72. Asbaha, we said, is from the akhawatu kana. It means to become a condition or circumstance, yani, that overcomes a person in the morning. Asbaha, like kana, it's from the akhawatu kana. It's used with two nouns that are originally mubtada and khabar. They become the ism Asbaha and the khabar of Asbaha, the ism Asbaha is marfoon with dhamma, the khabar of Asbaha is mansub with fatha. It also, Asbaha also may have the meaning of just to become something. Yani sara, kada wa kada, it became this or that without reference to the time of mourning. Exercise number 11, it says what? Asbaha min akhawatu kana. It's from the sisters of kana. Meaning that it's used with a jumla, ismiya, mubtada and khabar. And when it is introduced to the sentence, the mubtada becomes ismu asbaha, marfu'un with dhamma, and the khabar becomes khabaru asbaha, mansub with fatha. Asbaha min akhawatu kana. That's what it means, that it's used with the jumla, ismiya, mubtada and khabar. Mubtada and khabar names change to ism and khabar of asbaha. The ism is marfu'un, the khabar is mansub. A, the meaning of asbaha hamidun maridan. أصبح حامد مريضا أي أدركه الصبح وهو مريض. يعني the morning reached him, the morning came upon him. أدركه, it reached him. وهو مريض, while he was sick. يعني this while is while الحال. It means it reached him while his condition was that he was sick. وفي التنزيل, and in that which has been revealed, sent down, in the Quran, Surah Al-Qasas, 28th Surah, 10th Ayah, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. And the heart, the fu'ad, the heart of Ummi Musa became empty. Became empty. Yani the morning reached her, her heart was empty. Or her heart became empty. Yani due to the loss or the separation from her child, Musa alayhi salam. وَقَدْ تَأْتِي بِمَعْنَى صَارَ. Yani that asbaha sometimes comes with the meaning صَارَ, just to become, without the meaning of mourning. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, as in the saying, his saying, the saying of Allah the Most High, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانَ فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. So Allah, he joined, tied, yani connected between your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ, so you became, not necessarily in the morning, but just you became, your condition changed, صَارَ, you became, بِنِعْمَتِهِ, by the favor of Allah, إِخْوَانًا, you became إِخْوَانًا. نعم. So, in this sentence, and we didn't look at it in the last sentence, but in any case, in this sentence, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَةِ إِخْوَانَ, يعني تُم, the pronoun تُم, يعني corresponding to أنتم, أصبحتم, is the ism أصبح, because it's a pronoun, it's مَبْنِيٌ, but we say it's في محلي رف, in the place where it should be مَرْفُون, because the ism of أصبح, like ism of كان, is مَرْفُوعٌ, and إِخْوَانٌ is its خَبَر, the خَبَر is مَنْسُوبٌ. In the previous sentence, we say أَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى. فُؤَادُ is the ism أَصْبَحَ مَرْفُوٌ with dhamma, and فَارِغًا is the خَبَر of أَصْبَحَ مَنْسُوب with فَتْحَ. Alright, so what we're saying here, what? أَصْبَحَ is from أَخَوَاتُ كَانَ, it's used with مُبْتَدَى, and خَبَر becomes ism, and خَبَر أَصْبَحَ, ism of أَصْبَحَ is مَرْفُوٌ with dhamma. If it's a pronoun, it's فِي مَحَلِّ رَفْ, in the place where it should be مَرْفُوٌ. The khabar is mansoob. And this last ayat was from فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. It's from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 103rd ayat. Okay, so the exercise for number 11, the instruction says أَدْخِلْ أَصْبَحَ عَلَى الْجُمَلِ الْآتِيَةِ. Enter or utilize أَصْبَحَ upon or with the following sentences. To give you a sentence, original sentence, it's a jumla ismiya. Remember, asbaha is from akhawatu kana, so it's used with a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. But they change their name when you use asbaha. It becomes ismu asbaha, marfoon with dhamma, and khabaru asbaha, mansoob with fatha. The first sentence. Al-baradu shadidun. The cold is severe. Yani the weather, it is severe cold weather. Al-bardu shadidun. The cold is severe. The weather became very cold in the morning. Asbaha al-bardu shadidan. The cold in the morning became severe. Number two, أَنَا مَرِيضٌ مُبْتَدَأً خَبَر. I am sick. You want to change it and say, I became sick in the morning. The morning reached me while I was sick. أَصْبَحْتُ مَرِيضًا. Here, to is replacing in the original sentence, أَنَا. Okay? أَصْبَحْتُ. So the to here is the ism أَصْبَحَ. And as the ism أَصْبَحَ, it should be marfu'un, but here we say it is a pronoun. Pronouns are mabniun, so it's fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'un. Maridan is khabar of asbaha. Khabar of asbaha is mansub. Alamatu nasbihi fatha. The sign that is mansub is fatha. Number three, hum asdiqa'u. They are, yani asdiqa, friends. Mubtada and khabar. When you introduce asbaha, yani the hum now became part of the verb. You say asbahu, like kharaju and jalasu and katabu and darabu. Asbahu asdiqa'a. They became friends. They became friends. Keeping in mind that asbaha, yani it, something it became in the morning, but sometimes it has the meaning of just to become. So it might mean here, أَصْبَحُوا أَصْدِقَاءَ, they became friends, not necessarily in the morning. Okay, the next exercise is exercise 13 on the bottom of page 148. And this is dealing with the verb أَوْشَقَى. This came in the English key, point number 6, on page 72. We said that أَوْشَقَى and يُشِقُوا means it is about to happen. Something is about to happen. And the interesting thing about أوشقَ from أخواتُ كان, sometimes it's mentioned as from أفعال المقاربة, yani those verbs that mean something is about to happen, that it's near to happen. But in any case, it functions like كان. So it's mentioned here in the English key that is from the أخواتُ كان. Otherwise, and it's mentioned here in the Arabic also that it's from أخواتُ كان. But sometimes it's mentioned as from أخوات, as from أفعال المقاربة, those verbs that have the meaning of something is near, near, about to happen. What is unique about this particular verb is that it's khabar, unlike other verbs from akhawatu kana. It's khabar is always a masdar mu'awwal, the particle n and the mudari verb. So awshaqa, it says here at the bottom of page 148, awshaqa qaruba means it is near to happen, qareeb. Wa hiya min akhawatu kana, and it's from the akhawatu kana, meaning it's used with a mubtada, yani a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, except that this khabar is always going to be a masdar mu'awwal. وَيَجِبُ أَن يَكُونَ خَبَرُهَا وَيَجِبُ أَن يَكُونَ خَبَرُهَا مُكَوِّنًا وَمُكَوَّنًا مِنْ أَن وَالْفِعْل. So what are we saying here? We're saying that it's from أَقْوَاتُ كَانَ, but it's obligatory that its khabar be composed of مُكَوَّنًا مِنْ أَنْ وَالْفِعْلِ مِنْ أَنْ وَالْفِعْلِ. So the khabar is going to be a master of أول, yani the particle أَنْ and the verb, yani مُضَارِي verb. For example, أَوْشَكَ الدَّرْسُ أَنْ يَنْتَهِيَ. أَوْشَكَ الدَّرْسُ, the dars is near, is about, and yantahiya, to end. So ad-darsu is the ism awshaqa marfu'un with dhamma, and the masdar mu'awwal n plus yantahiya, the masdar mu'awwal here is the khabar of awshaqa, yani fi mahalli nasb, yani in the place where it should be marfu'un, this expression, this masdar mu'awwal. Wa yasta'malu minha al-mudari, and its mudari form, present tense form, is also used. For example, يُوشِكُ أَوْشَقَ يُوشِكُ التُلَّابُ أَن يَرْجِعُوا إِلَى بِلَادِهِمْ فِي الْإِجَازَةِ. The students are about to return, and يَرْجِعُوا إِلَى بِلَادِهِمْ, to their countries, فِي الْإِجَازَةِ, in the vacation time. Alright, so here they didn't give any exercises to do, so it's just an explanation telling us that أَوْشَقَى يُوشِكُ, and it's from أَخَوَاتُ كَانَ, except that yani its ism is going to always be مَرْفُون with dhamma, it's خَبَر, is going to be a masdar mu'awwal, a particle, the particle n al-masdariya, and a mudari verb. So we'll see, just in the end of this of these exercises, a requirement to use awshaqa in a sentence. But there's no exercises specifically with this number 12, awshaqa. Okay, exercise number 13 is dealing with ma al-nakira al-tama al-mubhama. And this particular matter came on page 73 of the English Key, point number 7. It says here that this word ma, this ma, which is called ma al-nakira al-tama, yani completely indefinite, al-mubhama, vague, unclear. They said that this ma, let's read 13. It says what? Yuriduha li amrin ma. Yani, someone, he wants it for some reason. Li amrin ma. Yani, a reason that is not definite and it's vague as well. Li amrin ma. For some reason. هذه ما النكرة التامة المبهمة. This is known as ما النكرة. نكرة means what? It's indefinite. التامة, completely indefinite. المبهمة, unclear, vague. وتأتي نعتا. And it is used, it comes as a نعت, as an adjective. لما قبلها. An adjective for what is before it. It's an adjective of what is before it. يعني an adjective in this case, لِأَمْرٍ مَا, is an adjective for أَمْرٍ. What type of أَمْرٍ? Some type of matter. It's not definite, and it's not clear what it is, but he wants it for some reason. For example, سَفَرْتُ إِلَى الرِّيَاضِ لِسَبَبٍ مَا. I traveled to Riyadh for some reason. Yani, the person is not trying to make clear what it is, but yani it's not anything definite and it's not anything clear. It's nakira tama and it's mubhama. Li sababin ma. I went there for some reason, not telling you why. Another example. A'tini kitaban ma. A'tini, this is the fi'l amr from the verb a'ta that we had in this lesson. A'tini, this is the fi'l amr form. Give me kitaban ma, some book. No particular book. It's not definite. It's nakira tama. And it's not even clear what book. Give me some book. Yani, give me a book. Any book. Atini kitaban ma. Give me a book. Some book. Any book. Another example. Ra'aytuhu fi makanin ma. I saw him in some undefined, unspecific, unclear, yani vague description of a place, yani some place that not it's not clear where. Ra'aytuhu fi makanin ma. Ma is a not an adjective describing makan. What kind of makan? A near makan, a far makan, yani a known makan. Makanin ma, vague, completely indefinite. Somewhere, I saw him somewhere. And the person says, I saw him somewhere. They're not telling you where they saw him. They're not specifying where they saw him. They're not saying certainly where they saw him, but just somewhere. مكان ما. قرأت هذا الخبر في صحيفة ما. قرأت هذا الخبر في صحيفة ما. I read this news in some newspaper. Again, not any particular specific newspaper. It's indefinite, completely indefinite. And it's not clear which newspaper. It's mubhama. The person is not saying specifically which newspaper. I read this in some newspaper without specifying which one. All right, again, this particular matter of ma nakira al-tama al-mubhama, also there are no exercises for it, but it came, yani in the last exercise, yani just a requirement or a request to use it in a sentence to make sure you understand how it's used. Going on to number 14, exercise number 14, which came in the English key as point number 8, and that is the omission of the alif or the hamza in the word ibn. And in the English key, it tells us that it should be between two names, the name of a son and the father. And it should be that the father's name is not preceded by a title, and that all three words should be in one line. And also, the word preceding Ibn loses its tanween. Also, the word preceding Ibn loses its tanween. If it doesn't lose its tanween, that would mean that Ibn here is not being used as a not, but rather Ibn here is being used as a khabar to complete a sentence. And that, in that case, the alif would be left on. Okay, so I failed to mention when we were doing the brief review of the English key, I failed to mention the last note that the word preceding Ibn loses its tanween. So you say Bilalu Ibnu, Bilalu Ibnu Hamid. This is an indication that the Ibn here is being used as a as a sifa, as a not. It's being used as a not. And if it's being used as a not, then the word Ibn loses its alif, and the word before it loses its tanween. So it says, for example, exercise number 14 says, the example to give us on page 149, Muhammadu Ibnu Williama. Muhammadu Ibnu William. تحذف حمزة ابن. The Hamza, the alif of the word ibn, is omitted, it's deleted. إذا جاء صفة. If ibn came as a sifa, a not, not as a khabar, but as a not. إذا جاء صفة لعالم, came as a not for a proper noun, مضافا إلى اسم أبيه, and it's connected in إضافة to the name of his father. Okay, the alif, the Hamza, Hamza til wasl, the alif of Ibn, is omitted. إِذَا جَاءَ صِفَةً لِعَلَمٍ مُضَافًا إِلَىٰ اسْمِ أَبِيهِ. If it came as a sifa, as a not, for a proper noun, the name of a son, connected, and then Ibn is connected in idafa to the name of his father. So it should be directly between the name of the son and the name of the father. As a sifa, describing Muhammad. He is what? Muhammad Ibn William, the son of William. So it's not a khabar that Muhammad is the son of William. No, it's Muhammad the son of William. That's a not, a sifa, not a khabar. If it was a khabar, then the alif of or the hamza til wasl would remain. So they give us some examples. Nahu, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn عبد المطلب. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib. So here, the name of the son is Muhammadu, and the name of the father is Abdullahi. And for this reason, because it's coming between the name of the father and the son, and they are written on one line, and there's no title before the name of the father, so the Hamza, Hamza til wasl, or the alif of Ibn, is deleted, and the name before Ibn loses its tanween. Muhammadu ibn Abdullahi. And then we have Ibn again loses his hamza because it's what? Between two names. Abdullah is the name of a son, and Abdul Muttalib is the name of his father. And they're all on the same line, and it's being used as a sifa, not as a khabar. Then they said that this alif is omitted with these conditions, that it's coming as a sifa, not as a khabar, for a proper noun, and it is connected in the idafa to the name of the father of that person. Then they say, وَيَشْتَرِتْ أَن تَكُونُ الْكَلِمَاتِ الثَّلَاثَ فِي سَطْرٍ وَاحِدٍ. That there is a condition that all three words, the son's name, proper noun, the father's name, proper noun, and Ibn directly between them, all three of these words have to be in one line, not some of them on the end of a line and the rest of it on the next line. They have to all be on one line. وَإِذَا جَاءَ بَعْدُهَا فِي سَطْرٍ وَبَعْدُهَا فِي سَطْرٍ آخَرٍ. But if some of it, one of those words or two of them come on one line and the rest of it comes on another line, كُتِبَتْ كَلِمَةِ إِبْن بِهَمْزَةٍ, then the word Ibn is written with its Hamzatul Wasl, the Alif. نَحُوْ الْحَسَنُ إِبْنُ عَلِيٍ. Al-Hasanu came on the end of one line, and Ibn Ali came on the next line. So all three words have to be on one line. If one or two of those words are on one line, and the rest of it is on the next line, the Hamzatul Wasl or the Aleph of Ibn has to be written. وَلَا تُحْذَفُ فِي الْمِثْرِ And it is also not omitted in the like of حَامِدُ إِبْنُ الشَّيْخ إِبْرَهِيم حَامِدُ, that's the son's name, إِبْنُ came after it, but the Aleph is written, why? Because Ibn is not immediately followed by the name of the father, Ibrahim, rather is followed by a title, الشيخ إبراهيم. And that's because Ibn لم يقع بين عالمين. It didn't come between two proper nouns. It became between one proper noun, Hamid, and it came between the title, الشيخ. So it has to be between two proper nouns, the name of the son, the word Ibn, and then the name of the father, without any title. All of them have to be on one line. And Ibn has to be used as a sifa, describing Hamid. How were we describing it? He's the son of Ibrahim, or the son of Sheikh Ibrahim. But here, because the title is, you know, preceding the father's name, so the Hamzatul Wasl or the Aleph is still written. Should be between, directly between the name of two, between two proper nouns, the name of the son and the name of the father, without any title after Ibn or before the name of the father, and they all should be written on one line. Naam. And again, the condition that it has to be used as a sifa. إِذَا جَاءَ صِفَةً لِعَالَمٍ مُضَافًا إِلَى إِسْمِ أَبِيهِ Sifa means that if it was a khabar, for example, if we said, instead of saying Muhammad, the son of Sheikh Ibrahim, the son of Sheikh Ibrahim, we're describing him as the son of Sheikh Ibrahim. But if we were saying Muhammad is the son of Sheikh Ibrahim, that's a complete sentence. Muhammad is the mubtada and Ibnu is the khabar. And a sheikh is mudawfan ilayhi and Ibrahim is a bedel. So in that case, Hamidun is the mubtada and Ibnu is the khabar. That's a complete sentence. As opposed to Hamidu Ibnu Sheikhi Ibrahim, Hamid the son of Sheikh Ibrahim, there's no khabar. Like if somebody said to you, Hamid the son of Sheikh Ibrahim did something, went somewhere, was special. Okay? There has to be a khabar. But if you say Hamid is the son of Sheikh Ibrahim, that's a complete sentence. So in that case, Ibnu here is a khabar. And therefore the Aleph is not omitted. But if it's used as a not, as a sifa describing Hamid, that he is the son, not Hamid. Yani you're saying Hamid the son of Sheikh Ibrahim did something. But Hamid is the son of Sheikh Ibrahim. In that case, Ibn is a khabar. And the rule here, yani, is that the Aleph is not omitted. I hope that is clear. Wallahu alam. Wa barakallahu fikum. Let's end this exercise, lesson, and this level with the final three exercises, which are all brief. Exercise number 15. We're on the bottom of page 149. Hati, Jama, Al Asma, Al Atiya. Give the plural of the following nouns: Mushaf, and it means the printed copy of Quran. Mushaf, its plural is masahifu. And it's on the pattern of mafail, so it's mamnoon min al-sarf, it doesn't take tanween. Fina'un means a courtyard. And its plural is afniyatun. Afniyatun. Af'ilatun. On the pattern of af'ila. Nashatun means activity. And its plural is anshitatun. Activities. And janibun, yani means on the side, or an aspect of something. Its plural is jawanib, jawanibu, without tanween, because again, it's what? Mafail, on the pattern of mafail, mamnoon min al-sarf. Jawanibu, yani the sides of something, or aspects of something. Exercise number 17, hati, madhi. Ya'ba. Ya'ba means to refuse. It's madhi. Past tense form is aba. Aba ya'ba. And this word came in a very famous hadith. If I can remember. Kullu ummati. The Prophet ﷺ said, Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannah illa man ya'ba. All of my ummah will enter the paradise except the one who refuses. Except the one who ya'ba, refuses. They said, وَمَنْ يَعْبَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Who will refuse to enter paradise? He said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دخل الجنة ومن عصاني دخل ومن عصاني فقد أبى. And whoever obeys me will enter the paradise, and whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. أو كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا, to refuse. Its past tense is أبا. Number 17, أدخل كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة. أدخل, enter or utilize, كل كلمة, each of the words, مما يأتي, from that which follows, في جملة مفيدة, in a beneficial sentence, meaning a complete sentence. It has all the essentials of a complete sentence. يعني مبتدأ خبر وفعل مفعول فعل فعل مفعول به, and so on. Alright, so the first sentence, I mean the first word, أعجبه, أعجبه. So you say, for example, أعجبه, أعجبني الدرس, the lesson, يعني was pleasing to me, it was amazing. أعجبني الدرس اليوم. Number two, أثنى عليه, أثنى عليه, يعني أثنى يثني is from باب أفعل, means to praise. أثنى عليه, praised him. And we can say, for example, إن الله أثنى على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القرآن, that Allah has praised, أثنى على رسوله, أثنى عليه, he has praised his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Quran. The next one is مصاب, يعني from أصاب يصيب. مصاب is the اسم مفعول, مصيب اسم فاعل, مصاب اسم مفعول with فتحة, from أصاب يصيب مصاب. هو مصاب بالصداع, بالصداع, يعني he is afflicted, he has been afflicted with a headache, or إسهال, or يعني he is afflicted with يعني إسهال, يعني diarrhea, or إمساك, constipation. Number four, or the next one, مشارق الأرض ومغاربها, ومغارب ومغاربها, يعني the مشارق, يعني the east, eastern lands of the earth, and the western lands of the earth. East and the west means مشارق الأرض ومغاربها, east and west means everything in the earth, east and west. So you can say, يعني قبلت في مكة طلاب من مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. I have met students in Mecca from all over the earth, from the east and the west, from all over the earth. أصبح, أصبح is from أخواته, كان, and it has the meaning of something occurring or becoming something in the morning, or just becoming something without reference to the morning. And it's used like the كان, it's used with the جملة اسمية مبتدا خبر, which become اسم أصبح and خبر أصبح, and the اسم أصبح is مرفوع with ضمة, and its خبر is منسوب with فتح. You say أصبح, أصبحت مريضا, I became sick in the morning, or أصبح الإمام مريضا, in the morning the Imam became sick, and so on. The next one is ولو, even if, and it's past, and it should be followed by a past tense verb, يعني أحضر الامتحان ولو كنت مريضا, or يعني تعال مبكرا, come early, ولو كنت متعبا, even if you are, come early, even if you were tired. The next one, هنيهة means just a moment. Like a person says, انتظر هنيهة, wait a minute. قف هنا هنيهة, stop here for just a moment. The next one is أوشق, which means something is nearly about to happen. أوشق الدرس أن ينتهي or أوشق أوشق الحرارة أن ينتهي يعني the hot weather is about to end يعني this is the end of August inshallah it will be over soon بإذن الله تعالى أوشق الحرارة أن ينتهي يعني the heat is about to end is nearly about to end the last one is ما النكرة التامة المبهمة يعني the ما that is النكرة التامة is completely indefinite not certain definite and it is مبهمة يعني vague person is not really being clear about what they want to say so you might say for example رأيت هذا الرجل في مكان ما وسمعت هذا الخبر من شخص ما I heard this news from some person or I saw this man in يعني مكان ما in some place نعم like this okay so this is the end of the lesson والحمد لله رب العالمين يعني hopefully we have gotten much out of this particular course it is يعني an advanced course for sure in the years of teaching Arabic I haven't seen a lot of people make it through this course the level 3 first half of book 3 and so يعني whatever we have gotten out of it hopefully we got much out of it whoever has completed it especially they have attended regularly they have done the exercises reading writing translating and retained يعني memorized these rules all of them or most of them then this is indeed a victory يعني from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which a person needs to be thankful indeed we should be extremely thankful I think we completed this course at Masjid Ikhwa twice and so this is like the third time here or the first time here third time in the last couple of years and in the past, yani some other students in other places have also completed, but not a large number. So again, I'm thankful to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to have completed it, and I hope that you're also thankful that you have completed it by the permission of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and that your efforts yani have borne fruit, and that hopefully your level of Arabic, your understanding of the Arabic, Arabic grammar, vocabulary, and all of this yani has improved yani to a great extent. بإذن الله تعالى we hope that we will we're going to do a review a quick review of these 17 lessons probably starting next week unless something changes that we'll be starting next week at the same time with a review of these lessons and basically we're going to review the English key and the vocabulary and unless any there's a request a strong urgent request to review the dialogues in the beginning of the lesson we'll skip them just so that we can go through this a little bit more quickly and you can yani, I would definitely advise that you read them on your own but for the sake of time because our session the time for our session is very limited otherwise I don't mind reading them but it is going to take some of them are quite lengthy and they're going to take a lot of extra time which would slow down our completion of the review and I think at this point it's just a matter of yani, going over some of it that we may have forgotten or some of it that we may have missed or some of it that we didn't grasp the first time. So we're just going to try to go through the English key quickly, بإذن الله تعالى. And if there are any questions or any other issues or any suggestions, we'll listen to them and see, you know, if we can work together and try to get the most benefit out of this. Okay, so we're going to close with this. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as always, that he grant me and each of you success in the tawfiq in doing whatever we do with the conditions for the acceptance and validity of good deeds and that is that we do them with ikhlas sincerely for the sake of Allah alone and that we do them yani with al-mutaba'a that we do them following yani strictly following the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and as such if Allah has given us that success we expect and we anticipate that he will recognize and that he will record and that he will reward our good deeds and that he will multiply them and we also ask that he pardon and forgive and overlook our faults and errors and mistakes and that he keep us firm that he grant us al-thabat firmness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim and that he allow us to meet him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him, and that we are pleased with Him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure completely and speedily our sick, and that He pardon and forgive those who have passed away. Yes, may Allah pardon them and forgive them and protect them and overlook their shortcomings and errors, and that, and may He grant them an honorable residence and provisions, and that He make spacious the entry, and that He wash them with water and snow and hail, and that He purify them from their sins and mistakes and errors with in the same way that He purifies a white garment, and that He exchange for them their place of residence with that which is better, and their family with that which is better, and a spouse that is better, and that finally and most importantly, that He admit them into His Jannah, and that He protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. Ameen, Ya Rabb.